Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is a day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it, thankful, grateful, and blessed, and thankful for your prayers. Your girl is feeling much better in the presence of the Lord this morning. I am excited. I'm excited. We got a word today. We got a holy word today, and the question that I asked you this morning, and you will understand, is where do you stand? Hallelujah. Where do you stand this morning? Our title, then Moses stood and said, whoever is on the Lord's side, come to me. I'm with Moses. I'm on the Lord's side. Where do you stand this morning? We got to stand with God. And a word is coming this morning on this Old Testament, Friday from 31 to Exodus chapter 36. And I'm telling you, don't mess with God. Don't do it. Don't try it. It will not work for you. When the Lord says, don't do it, don't do it.
Amen.
Don't do it. Where do you stand this morning? We got to come to the Lord, and that's where we're going. Heavenly Father God, we come to you today, standing on your side, believing in you, God, trusting in you, God, that all things are working for our good. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. And all we can say is thank you, Yahweh. Thank you, Yeshua. Thank you, Father, for being who you are, awesome and mighty, great and powerful, loving and kind, and a disciplinarian when we need to be spanked. Father God, we thank you for the spanking. We thank you for the keeping us straight on the narrow. And when we fall, God, we thank you for picking us up, dusting us off, setting us back on our feet. For you are awesome, and you are mighty, and you are our daddy, God. And we are your grateful children. Father God, I lift up this mighty word this morning, asking you to increase as Mother Valerie and I decrease, Lord God. For you are our strength and you are our redeemer. And Lord, we would not and we cannot go forth without saying, Lord, forgive us for any sins we have committed in thought, in word, or in deed. Lord God, if we have taken the wrong thing to the phone, and not to the throne, we ask forgiveness. Father God, we ask you to clean us up with hyssop. Give us a clean heart and a right spirit within us, Lord, that we will go forth in your word in excellence, that we will go forth in your word with pure hearts, minds, and spirits, that we will go forth in your word open to receive you, God. As you increase in us, Lord, we decrease. And say, thank you, Father, for another day. But this is the day that you have made. And we are rejoicing and glad in it. And as Moses said, where do I stand? I stand on your side, oh, Father God. For you have never left me. You have never forsaken me. You have healed my body. You have healed my mind. You have put a joy in my spirit that is comes only from the salvation of my Savior. And I thank you for his saving grace. I thank you for the blood that flows through me, for it will never, ever lose its power. And it's in the name of the matchless Son, Yahshua, my Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. And a prayer from our 365 for this 10th day of February, Law of Love. Peter and the apostles replied, we must obey God, come on now, rather than any human. Acts 5:29 NLT. Can I say it again? We must obey God rather than any human. infinite one, Father of all. I owe everything I am and everything I have to you. I would rather spend my days living in the law of your love than anywhere else. Today, I consecrate myself to you, asking for your wisdom to guide me into all truth. I want to be aligned with you and your ways. Keep me on the narrow path that chooses love above all other things, above my own comfort, preferences, and other expectations. Your ways are better than my own and better than what others require as well. May I stay true to you and your word, hallelujah, as I walk this path with you. Today, let my choices reflect your ways rather than my own. Help me to stay fixed on you, the author and perfecter of my faith. When I begin to default to my own blase, Holy Spirit, would you remind me of the wisdom of your word and ways? Don't let me become biased, God. And when I default to my biases, Holy Spirit, I ask again, would you remind me of the wisdom of your word and ways? Yield my heart and my choices to you today. And the question is, what does it mean for you to obey God today? And I say, what does it mean to stand on the Lord's side? Let's get started, family. Please get your Bible out because this is Bible study. And we are going to where? We are going to the Word of God. Why? Because it is true, it is awesome, and it never changes. Hallelujah. Man can't change God's Word because God's Word is that, God's Word. Where do you stand this morning? Are you on the Lord's side? Hallelujah. I am just filled up this morning. As you can tell, your sister is feeling better. You know, I went to sleep this morning early. I went to sleep last night. And then I woke up and I turned on my Bible app that I have on my phone. And I just started listening to scripture. And the scripture put me to sleep and peaceful rest. We got to go to the Word of God. When you're not feeling your best, the best place to go is to the Word of God. So join me in Exodus chapter 31. And I'm going to be coming this morning out of the NIV version of the Bible, because we want it to make a lot of sense so everybody can understand. I may flip back to New King James, but I'm going to try to stay in the NIV this morning. And it says this, chapter 31 of the book of Exodus. Then the Lord said to Moses, see, I have chosen Isaiah, son of Uri, son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. Spirit of God, with wisdom, with understanding, with knowledge, and with all kinds of skills to make artistic designs for work in gold, silver, and bronze, to cut and set stones, to work in wood, to engage in all kinds of crafts. Moreover, I have appointed Ortaliah, son of Ashmach, of the tribe of Dan, to help him. Also, I've given ability to all the skilled workers to make everything I have commanded you. The tent of the meeting, the Ark of the Covenant, law with the atonement cover on it, and all the other furnishings of the tent, the table and the articles, the pure gold lampstand, and all its accessories, the altar of incense, the altar of burnt offerings, and all its utensils, the basin with its stand, and also the woven garments, both the sacred garments, and Aaron the priest, and the garments for his sons, when they served as priests, and the anointing oil and fragrant incense for the holy place. They are to make as I commanded you. And we know that Mother was telling us what I commanded on yesterday. And God chose the person to be in charge. God chose the leader for the artisans. God chose the leader to get his house in order, his tent of the tabernacle. He chose the person and told Moses, this is who you need to choose, for I have anointed him. He is appointed. And then he gave him by name and tribe who would do what. And so we got to understand God's word. And then it says the Sabbath. And we all know that there is so much confusion on the Sabbath. And we have to just go to the Lord and say, Lord, you guide us on this. And it says that the Lord said to Moses, say to the Israelites, you must observe my Sabbath. This will be a sign between me and you for the generations to come, so you may know what that I am the Lord who makes you holy. Where do you stand? Observe the Sabbath, because it is holy to you. Anyone who desecrates it is to be put to death. They didn't play back then about the Lord's day. Whoever desecrates it is to be put to death. Those who do any work on that day must be cut off from their people. For 6 days, work is to be done. But the seventh day is a day of Sabbath rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day is to be put to death. The Israelites are to observe the celebrating it for the generations as a lasting covenant. It will be a sign between me and the Israelites forever. For in 6 days, the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day, he rested and was refreshed. Whew! On the seventh day, he rested and was refreshed. When the Lord finished speaking to Moses on Mount Sinai, he gave him the two tablets of the covenant law, the tablets of stone inscribed by the what? The finger of God. Did it say Moses wrote it? He didn't. It was inscribed by the finger of God. So it was a holy. Those tablets were holy. They were divine. They came from God. They were written by the finger of God. Where do you stand this morning? Are you on the Lord's side? God did not just give it. He gave it for a purpose and a reason. And I will give life lessons for chapter 31, 32, and 33 after I finish chapter 33. And then Mother Valerie will come with 34, 35, and 36 for this morning. And now we're getting into the nitty-gritty of disobedience. Disobedience. And when you do not have a strong leader, folks tend to go in the wrong direction. And let me tell you, these folks went in the total wrong direction. They lost their mind. So let's see what the children of Israel got up to while Moses was on the mountain, he and his armor bearer Joshua. Let's see, 40 days and 40 nights, sneaky, slimy snake just slithered on in. Easy peasy, he just slipped and slid right on in to cause all kind of mess. He did it in the garden, and he's doing it in the desert. Let's see what happens. Get your Bibles for those that are just joining us. We are in Exodus chapter 32, and we're about to talk about a golden calf. And it says this, when the people saw that Moses was so long in coming down from the mountain, they gathered around Aaron and said, come, make us little G's, them little gods, who will go before us. As for this fellow Moses, who brought us up out of Egypt, we don't know what has happened to him. Aaron answered them, now hold on. I just got to stop. Put a little pin right here. Did they force Aaron to make this golden calf?
No.
Did they tell Aaron, we want a golden calf? I don't think so. They didn't do that until Aaron. Aaron is the one. Aaron should have said, he's coming back. He's in the presence of the Lord. And we must be patient. Isn't that what he should have done? But the first thing out of Aaron's mouth was, take off the gold earrings that your wives, your sons, and your daughters are wearing and bring them to me. Sneaky snake, bam, went in the air like it was nobody's business. It was like when you run and you playing baseball and you hit first base, then you hit second base, and then you hit third base, and it says, go on, get hit home, hit home, go run on in. And you run on in and you slide into the home plate. Aaron slid right into the pit. Slid right into the pit and brought these folks with him. And what did he do? Told them. So all the people took off their earrings. Did not stop to do what was right. First thing out of his mouth was, bring me your gold. And brought them to Aaron. He took what they handed him and made it into an idol calf in the shape of a calf, furnishing with a tool. Then they said, these are your gods, Israel, who brought you up out of Egypt. Now, Aaron knew better. When Aaron saw this, he built an altar in front of the calf and announced, tomorrow there will be a festival to the Lord. So the next day, the people rose early, sacrificed burnt offerings and presented fellowship, sat down to eat and drink, and got up to indulge in revelry. Then the Lord said to Moses, go down, because your people whom you brought up out of Egypt have become corrupt. They have been quick to turn away from what I commanded them and have made themselves an idol calf in the shape of a calf. They have bowed down to it and sacrificed to it and have said, these are your little G God, Israel, who brought you up out of Egypt. I have seen these people, the Lord said to Moses, and they are a stiff-necked people. Now leave me alone so that my anger may burn against them, that I may destroy them, that I will make you into a great nation. But Moses sought the favor of the Lord his God. Whew, Lord, you see, why should your anger burn against your people, whom you brought out of Egypt with great power and a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians say it was with evil intent that he brought them out to kill them in the mountains and to wipe them off the face of the earth? Turn from your fierce anger. Relent and do not bring disaster on your people. Remember your servants Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, to whom you swore by your own self, I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky. I will give your descendants all this land I promised them, and it will be their inheritance forever. Then the Lord relented and did not bring on his people the disaster he had threatened. Moses turned and went down the mountain with the two tablets of the covenant law in his hands. They were inscribed on both sides, front and back. Did y'all catch that? So when you see those fake tablets out there and it's only inscribed on one side, that's not what it said in the Bible. They were inscribed on both sides, front and back. The tablets were the work of God. The writing was the writing of God engraved on the tablets. Can I say it again? One more time. They were inscribed on both sides, front and back. The tablets were the work of not Moses, but God. Come on now. The writing was the writing of God engraved on the tablets. When Joshua heard the noise of the people shouting, he said to Moses, there is the sound of war in the camp. Moses replied, it is not the sound of victory. It is not the sound of defeat. It is the sound of singing that are here. When Moses approached the camp and saw the camp and the dancing, His anger burned, and he threw the tablets out of his hand, breaking them to pieces on the foot of the mountain. And he took the calf the people had made and burned it in the fire. Then he ground it to powder, scattered it on the water, and made the Israelites drink it. He said to Aaron, "What did these people do to you that you led them in such great sin?" "Do not be angry, my Lord," Aaron answered. "You know how prone these people are to evil." I got to put a pin in there. Did the people say, "Let us give you our gold and you make us a calf"? Did they say that to Aaron? They did not. Aaron was the one that instigated the situation. Let's call it like it is. Aaron is the one that instigated the situation. Aaron is the one that said, "Break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives, your son, and your daughters, and bring them to me." Isn't that what he said? Did he say, "Hold on, wait a minute, Moses is coming back"? He didn't say that. He's the one that instigated, that sneaky snake slipped into him so quick that he didn't even know what he was saying. But then he going to try to blame it on the people. "It wasn't me. I didn't do it on my own." What he said, "You know how prone these people are to evil." Then you need to include yourself. "They said to me, make us God who will go before us." Wait a minute. They did say that. But he should have spoke up. He should have spoke up. He was left in leadership. He was the one that was left. That's just like the pastor telling the deacon, "Deacon, I need you to take over." And the deacon takes over, but the pastor's not there. So the deacon just let everything go on. Because the people say, "Well, deacon, we don't want to have church today. We just want to have praise and worship. No, we don't need you to do a message. We don't need any of that. We just going to do praise and worship today." You know, oh, and, you know, we want to be done by 12 because, you know, the Super Bowl is today. So, you know, just let us out. 11:30 would be even better. Half an hour service, that's good enough. Pastor's not here, it's all right. You know, or to the assistant pastor. The minister of music is going to be taking over today. So, you know, we just go. We're going to walk it out this morning. Have us a party in the house. We're having us a Super Bowl Sunday. No. Aaron was supposed to be in charge. And when they came to him and said, "Come, make us gods that should go before us, as for this Moses, the man who brought us out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him." But Aaron did not stand up for his brother. He did not stand on the side of God. He followed after the crowd instead of being the leader he was supposed to be. And that is not on the Lord's side. He did not do his assignment. He did not do his job. Aaron didn't do his job. And it goes on to say, whew, because you know Moses is hot. And he said, "Now you know, now I'm going to throw it back on the people. Do not be angry, my Lord, Aaron. You know how prone these people are to evil." You right there with them. "They said to me, make us gods who will go before us. As for this fellow Moses who brought us up out of Egypt, we don't know what happened to him. So I told them, whoever has any gold jewelry, take it off. Then they gave me the gold, and I threw it into the fire, and out came this calf." I just don't know what happened. But, you know, he admitted that I did some dirt myself. Then Moses saw that the people were running wild, that Aaron had let them get out of control, and so became. Moses is hot. And I know if it was my church, my pastor wouldn't be playing. She'd be hot, too. And you know what? Come on now. Moses did not play. He was hot. And Moses saw, I got to read that again, verse 25. Moses saw that the people were running wild, that Aaron had let them get out of control, and so became a laughing. Hold on a minute. Get to the page here. Yeah,
Aaron was a threat.
Aaron lost his way. Aaron lost his way. He just lost his way. He lost his way. A laughingstock to their enemies. So he stood at the entrance of the camp and said, whew, and here's our title for this evening. Whoever is for the Lord, come to me. And all the Levites rallied to him. Again, I'm going to go over to King James on this. I got to go over to the King James because this is so important. Verse 26. I'm coming back one more time to verse 25, King James. And then Moses saw that the people were naked, but Aaron had made them naked into the shame among who men. Actually, let me go back a little bit. And I got to go back one more. I got to go back. You know, verse 23. For they said unto me, make us God, which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we will not what is become of him. And I said unto them, whosoever hath any gold, let them break it off. So they gave it to me. Then I cast it in the fire, and there came out this calf. And when Moses saw that the people were naked, for Aaron had made them naked unto their shame among their enemies. Then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, who is on the Lord's side? Come unto me. And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him. And he said unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, put every man his sword by his side, and go in and out from gate to gate throughout the camp, and slay every man his brother, and every man his companion, and every man his neighbor. And the children of Levi did according to the word of Moses. And there fell of the people that day about 3,000 men. But Moses had said, consecrate yourselves today to the Lord, and every man upon his son, upon his brother, that he may bestow upon you a blessing this day. And it came to pass on the morrow that Moses said unto the people, ye have sinned a great sin, and now I will go up unto the Lord. Preadventure, I shall make an atonement for your sin. Whew. And Moses returned unto the Lord and said, oh, this people have sinned a great sin, and I made them gods of gold. Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book, which thou hast written. And the Lord said unto Moses, whosoever hath sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. Therefore now go lead the people into the place of which I have spoken unto thee. Behold, mine angel shall go before thee. Nevertheless, in the day when I visit, I will visit their sin upon them. And the Lord plagued the people because they made a calf, and which Aaron made. Whose side are you on this morning? Are you on the Lord's side? Are you standing with God? Are you standing with the sinner? Are you standing with man? Are you standing by the golden calf? And then as we go into Exodus chapter 33, then the Lord said to Moses, depart and go up from here, you and the people whom you have brought out of the land of Egypt, to the land of which I swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, to your descendants I will give it, and I will send my angel before you, and I will drive out the Canaanites, and the Amorites, and the Hittites, and the Perizzites, and the Havites, and the Jebusites. Go up to the land flowing with milk and honey, for I will not go up in your midst, lest I consume you on the way, for you are a stiff-necked people. Stiff-necked people. And when the people heard this bad news, they mourned, and no one put on their ornaments. For the Lord has said to Moses, say to the children of Israel, you are stiff-necked people. I could come up unto you into your midst in one moment and consume you. Now, therefore, take off your ornaments, that I may know what to do to you. So the children of Israel stripped themselves of their ornaments about Mount Horeb. Moses took his tent and pitched it outside the camp, far from the camp, and called it the Tabernacle of Meeting. And it came to pass that everyone who sought the Lord went out to the Tabernacle of Meeting, which was outside the camp. It was whenever Moses went out to the tabernacle that all the people arose, and each man stood at his tent door and watched Moses until he had gone into the tabernacle. And it came to pass when Moses entered the tabernacle that the pillar of the cloud descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle. And the Lord talked with Moses. And all the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the tabernacle door. And all the people rose and worshiped each man in his tent door. So the Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. And he would return to camp. But this his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, did not depart from the tabernacle. Then Moses said to the Lord, "See, you say to me, bring up this people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, I know you by name, and you have also found grace in my sight. Now, therefore, I pray, if I have found grace in your sight, show me now your way, that I may know you and that I may find grace in your sight. And consider that this nation is your people." And he said, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." Then he said to him, "If your presence goes, does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. For now, then will it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight, except you go with us. So we shall be separate, your people and I, from all the people who are upon the face of the earth." So the Lord said to Moses, "I will also do this thing that you have spoken, but you have found grace in my sight, and I know you by name." And he said, "Please show me your glory." Then he said, "I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion." But he said, "You cannot see my face, for no man shall see me and live." And the Lord said, "Here is a place by me, and you shall sit on the rock. So it shall be while my glory passes by that I will put you in the cleft of the rock and will cover you with my hand while I pass by. Then I will take away my hand, and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen." Ooh, what a mighty God. Can you tell? I'm filled up. Where will you stand? Whose side are your own? Exodus chapter 31, verse 18. He gave Moses two tablets of the testimony, tablets of stone written with the finger of God. Since God does not want his people to wonder what he has said, he committed his words to written form. We can depend upon that word no matter what happens around us. We can stand on the word of God. We don't have to worry. We don't have to fret. God's word stands for centuries, millennia. It will stand until the end of time. Because it's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Where do you stand? Example, how God speaks to us, Dr. Stanley said. Through the ages, God has used various variety of ways to speak to his people. He spoke directly with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, meeting them in the cool of the day, Genesis 3 and 8. After God expelled the disobedient pair from the garden, he turned to other forms of communication. These forms have included direct revelation, dreams and visions, the words of prophets and others. Today, God's primary through not only form of communication with his people is the written word, the Bible. We read Exodus 31 and 18. When he had made an end of speaking with him, Moses on Mount Sinai, he gave Moses two tablets of testimony, tablets of stone written with the finger of God. God has always placed great value on the written word. In fact, the Hebrew people were among the first, can I say it again, that allowed them to record. Not the Greeks, not the Romans, but the first on earth to have an alphabet that allowed them to record documents. Get it right. the reading of the Torah, the first five books of the Old Testament, has remained a mainstay in synagogue services through the centuries. The early church received God's counsel through both spoken and written means. The gospel accounts document the life and words of Jesus, while much of the rest of the New Testament consists of letters from the apostles to various groups of believers. Behind the written word of God always stands the inspiration of God. We read in 2 Timothy 3:16, 17, all scripture, highlightable, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. The psalmist acknowledged the importance of knowing and obeying the word of God when he wrote, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. 119 Psalm, verse 105. Centuries later, the apostle Paul referred to the written word as a weapon to be used in spiritual battle. Take the sword of the spirit, which is the word of God. Ephesians 6 and 17. God's word really is an immovable anchor in times of storms. Exodus chapter 32, verse 13. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, your servants, to whom you swore by your own self. Moses had to stand in the gap so many times. Powerful prayer finds its support in the promises of God. When we base our prayers on what God has pledged himself to do, we stand on unshakable ground. By your stripes I am healed, and we have to believe it. Exodus 32, 34, I will visit punishment upon them for their sin. God forgives sin and wickedness when we repent, there's that word, that R word, and come to him in faith. But he does not always prevent us from experiencing the consequences of our wicked behavior. Psalms, and then as we go to my last chapter, as I turn it over to Mother Valerie, intimacy through obedience. And it says, Moses was one of the few people known for his intimacy with God. His pathway to knowing God was his extraordinary obedience. Moses risked everything to follow God's command. He left the safe life of the Midianite farmer to face the dangers of freeing the people of Israel. Yet Moses trusted God and was able to witness his almighty hand in action. As Moses obeyed God's will, he beheld the 10 plagues, the parted sea, escape from Egypt, manna from heaven, water from a stone, and God's presence in the tabernacle. Through every act, he knew God more intimately. Exodus 33 and 11 teaches that the Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. Through his obedience, Moses learned to trust the heart of the Creator. He learned to talk to God as a friend because he saw God in a way few ever commit to seeing him. Ooh, when you obey God, he is able to reveal himself to you in a more personal way. He is able to prepare you to know him, experience deep intimacy with him. Are you willing to endure patiently all things that your Lord would do with you? Will you be his friend? Where will you stand this morning? Mother Valerie, I'm standing on the Lord's side, and I know you're standing with me. Hallelujah. Give it to God.
Amen. Amen. Good morning, people of God. Good morning, good morning. It's a beautiful day. The temperature is 48. It's going to get up to 63. And our title, whoever is on the Lord's side, come to me. Whoever, whoever, whoever will, whoever is on the Lord's side, come to me. I'm starting in Exodus 34. And the Lord said to Moses, cut 2 tablets of stone like the first one, and I will write on these tablets the words that were on the first tablet, which you wrote. So be ready in the morning and come up in the morning to Mount Sinai. Present yourself to me there on top of the mountain. And no man shall come up with you, and let no man be seen throughout all the mountains. Let neither flock nor herd see before that mountain. So he cut two tablets of stone like the first one. Then Moses rose early in the morning and went up Mount Sinai, as the Lord had commanded him, took in his hand the two tablets of stone. Now the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity, transgression, and sin, by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation. Moses made haste, bowed his head toward the earth, and worshiped. Then he said, if now I have found grace in your sight, O Lord, let the Lord, I pray, go among us, even though we are a stiff-necked people. Pardon our iniquity and our sin, and make us as your inheritance. And he said, behold, I made a covenant before all your people. I will do marvels such as not have been done in the earth, nor in any nation, and all the people among whom you shall see the work of the Lord. For it is an awesome thing that I will do with you. Observe what I command you this day. Behold, I'm driving out from you the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites. Take heed to yourselves, lest you make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land where you're going, lest it be a snare in your midst. But you shall destroy their altars, break their sacred pillars, cut down their wooden images. For you shall worship no other god. For the Lord, whose name is jealous, is a jealous God. Whose name is jealous, I'll say it again, is a jealous God. Lest you make a covenant with inhabitants of the land, and they play the harlot with their God and make sacrifice to their God. And one of them invites you, and you eat of his sacrifice. You taste of his daughter, and you take of his daughters, for your sons and his daughters play the harlot with their gods, and make your sons play the harlot with their gods. You shall make no molten gods for yourself. The feast of unleavened bread you shall keep. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread as I command you. In the appointed time of the month of Abib, for the month of Abib, you shall come out from Egypt. All that open the womb are mine, and every male firstborn among you, livestock, whether ox or sheep, the firstborn of a donkey, you shall redeem with a lamb. And if you will not redeem him, then you shall break his neck. All the firstborn of your sons you shall redeem, and none shall appear before me empty-handed. None shall appear before me empty-handed. 6 days you shall work, but on the seventh day you shall rest. In plowing time and in harvest you shall rest. God wants you to take a rest. And if you don't take a rest, he'll find a way to make you rest. Because he's telling you, you can't work 24 hours, 7 days in and 7 days out. He said 6 days you should work. God wants us to be obedient. He wants us to obey. Obedience is better than sacrifice. God is Father. He's the Father. And he gives us children so they can obey us, and we know what it means to obey. 6 days you should work, but on the seventh day you should rest. In plowing time and in harvest, you shall rest. And you shall observe the feast of the weeks of the first fruit of wheat harvest and the feast of ingathering at the year's end. 3 times in the year all your men shall appear before the Lord, the God of Israel. For I will cast out the nations before you and enlarge your borders. Neither will any man convert your land when you go up to appear before the Lord your God 3 times in the year. You shall not offer the blood of my sacrifice with leaven, nor shall the sacrifice of the feast of the Passover be left until morning. The first of the first fruits of your land you shall bring to the house of the Lord your God. You shall not boil a young goat in its mother's milk. Then the Lord said to Moses, Write these words, for according to the tenor of these words, I have made a covenant with you and with Israel. So he was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. He neither ate bread nor the drink water. Can you imagine fasting 40 days and 40 nights? Sometimes we can even fast 3 days. Moses fasted 40 days and 40 nights. He neither ate bread nor drank water. And he wrote on the tablets the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. Now it was so, when Moses came down from Mount Sinai, and the two tablets of the testimony were in Moses' hand, when he came down from the mountain, that Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone while he talked with him. So when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come near him. Then Moses called to them, and Aaron and all the rulers of the congregation returned to him. Moses talked with them. Afterward, all the children of Israel came near, and he gave them as all the commandments, all that the Lord had spoken with him on Mount Sinai. And when Moses had finished speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. But whenever Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he would take the veil off until he came out, and he would come out and speak to the children of Israel whatever he had been commanded. And whenever the children of Israel saw the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face shone, then Moses would put the veil on his face again until he went in to speak with him. My goodness. Moses went in to speak with God, and Moses fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. A lot of times, we had 21-day fast. A lot of people did go on the fast for 21 days, and a lot of us didn't. Exodus 35. Then Moses gathered all the congregation of the children of Israel together, said to them, these are the words which the Lord has commanded you to do. Work shall be done for 6 days, but the seventh day shall be a holy day for you, a Sabbath of rest to the Lord. Whoever does any work on it shall be put to death. I mean, the Sabbath in that day and time was very serious. And if they found people working on the Sabbath, you lost your life. You should kindle no fire throughout your dwelling on the Sabbath day. Moses spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, this is the thing which the Lord commands, saying, take from among you an offering to the Lord. Whoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it to as an offering to the Lord. Gold, silver and bronze, blue, purple, scarlet, thread, fine linen, goat's hair, ram skin, dyed red badger skin, acacia wood, oil for the light, spices for the anointing oil, and for the sweet incense, oxen stones and stones to be set in the ephod and in the breastplate. He said, if you're willing, whoever is willing. And God don't want you to bring him an offering unless you are willing. All who are gifted archers among you shall come and make all that the Lord has commanded. The tabernacle, its tent, its covering, its claps, its board, its bars, its pillars, its socket, the ark and its poles with the mercy seat, and the veil of the covering. The tablet and its poles, all its utensils, show bread, also the lampstand for the light, its utilities, its lamps, the oil for the light, the incense altar, its poles, the anointed oil, the sweet incense, and the screen for the door at the entrance of the tabernacle. The altar of burnt offerings with its brass grating, its poles, all its utensils, the laver, and its base. The hanging of the court, its pillars, the sockets, the screen for the gate of the court, the peg of the tabernacle, the peg of the court, and their cords, the garments of ministries for ministering in the holy place, the holy garments for Aaron the priest, and the garments of his son to minister as priest. All the congregation of the children of Israel departed from the presence of Moses. Then everyone came whose heart was stirred, and everyone setting in carven wood and to work in the manner of artistic workmanship. And he has put in his heart the ability to teach in him the Adhaliah, the son of Amos of the tribe of Dan. He has filled them with skill to do all manner of work of the engraver and the designer, the tapestry made in blue, purple, and scarlet thread, fine linen, and of the weaver, those who do every work and those who design artistic works. Chapter 36. And Bezalel and Abeliah and every gifted artisan in whom the Lord had put wisdom and understanding to know how to do all manner of work for the service of the sanctuary, to do according to all that the Lord has commanded. Then Moses called Bezalel and Abeliah and every gift artisan in whose heart the Lord has put wisdom, and everyone whose heart was stirred to come up and do the work. And they received from Moses all the offering which the children of Israel had brought for the work of the service of making the sanctuary. So they continued bringing to him freewill offerings every morning. Then all the craftsmen who were doing all the work of the sanctuary came each from the work he was doing. And they spoke to Moses, saying, the people bring much more than enough for the service of the work which the Lord commanded us to do. So Moses gave a commandment that caused it to be proclaimed throughout the camp, saying, let neither man nor woman do any more work for the offering of the sanctuary. Wouldn't that be something that we had brought so much money to the table of life, that the table of life will be paid off in the year 24, and pastors say, well, stop, don't bring any more. That's what Moses told the people, don't bring any more offering for the sanctuary. And the people was restrained from bringing, for the material they had was sufficient for all the work to be done. Indeed, it was too much. That's amazing. Then all the gifted artisans among them who worked on the tabernacle made two curtains, woven of fine linen of blue, purple, scarlet thread with artistic designs of cherubim. They made them. I mean, that tabernacle had to be made in such a manner, just so. You know, God wants things to be done exactly the way he wants them to be done. The length of each curtain was 28 cubits, and the width of each curtain 4 cubits. The curtains were all the same size. And he coupled 5 curtains to one another, and the other 5 curtains he coupled to one another. He made loops of blue yarn on the edge of the curtain on the sandwich of one set. Likewise, he did on the outer edge of the outer curtain of the second set. 50 loops he made on one curtain. 50 loops he made on the edge of the curtain on the end of the second set. The loops held one curtain to another. He made 50 claps of gold and coupled the curtains to one another with the claps that it might be one tabernacle. He made curtains of goat's hair for the tent over the tabernacle. He made 11 curtains. The length of each curtain was 30 cubits, and the width of each curtain 4 cubits. The 11 curtains were the same size. He coupled 5 curtains by themselves and 6 curtains by themselves. And he made 50 loops on the edge of a curtain that is outermost in one set. 50 loops he made on the edge of the curtain of the second set. He also made 50 bronze clamps that coupled the tent together that it might be one. Then he made a covering for the tent of ram skins dyed red, and a covering of badger skins above that. For the tabernacle, he made boards of acacia wood standing upright. The length of each board was 10 cubits. The width of each board, a cubit and a half. Board had 2 tenons for binding one to another. Thus he made for all the boards of the tabernacle. Made boards for the tabernacle, 20 boards for the south side, 40 sockets of silver he made to go under the 20 boards, 2 sockets under each of the boards for his 2 tendons. And for the other side of the tabernacle, the north side, he made 20 boards, and their side, 40 sockets of silver, 2 sockets under each of the boards. For the west side of the tabernacle, he made 6 boards. Also made 2 boards for the 2 back corners of the tabernacle. They were covered at the bottom and coupled together at the top by 1 ring. Thus he made both of them for the 2 corners. So there were 8 boards and their sockets, 16 sockets of silver, 2 sockets under each of the boards. He made bars of acacia wood, 5 for the boards on one side of the tabernacle, 5 bars for the board on the other side of the tabernacle, 5 bars for the boards of the tabernacle on the far side westward. He made the middle bar to pass through the boards from one end to the other. He overlaid the boards with gold, made their rings of gold to be holden for the bars, and overlaid the bars with gold. He made a veil of blue, purple, and scarlet thread, fine wooden linen. It was worked with an artistic design of cherubim. He made it for 4 pillars of acacia wood, overlaid them with gold, with their hooks of gold, and he cast 4 sockets of silver for them. He also made a screen for the tabernacle door of blue, purple, and scarlet thread, and fine wooden linen, made it by a weaver, and his 5 pillars with their hooks. And he overlaid their capitals and their rings with gold, but their 5 sockets were bronze. Isn't that amazing? God wanted that tabernacle just so. And whoever is on the Lord's side, he said, whoever is on the Lord's side, that's the title, whoever is on the Lord's side, come to me. God is totally amazing. I'm going to turn this back over to Pastor Bridget. Amen.
Amen.
Good.
Ooh, what a word. Who's on the Lord's side? Come to me. We got to go to the Lord's side. And I just wanted to hit one life lesson from Mother Valerie. And that was, everyone came whose heart was stirred. Verse 21 of Exodus 35. Everyone came whose heart was stirred, and everyone whose spirit was willing, and they brought the Lord's offering. We don't begrudgingly give to God. We give him everything from our heart. God loves cheerful, willing, and self-motivated giving because it demonstrates a genuine devotion to and a vibrant connection with him. Regular giving breaks money's hold over us and deepens our devotion to God. And that is where I leave the word right now. And I just want to say thank you all for joining us this morning. You know, where do you stand? You know, this morning, Mother Valerie and I had a praise break with Pastor Timothy Wright. And, you know, and that song just hit my spirit this morning. Where do you stand? I'm on the Lord's side. So as we wrap up this morning with a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn, who's always on point, and it is again today, never hold anything tighter than you're holding on to God. Mm. Have a fantastic Friday, family. But we know Sister Carolyn is on the Lord's side. I say one more time, never hold on to anything tighter than you're holding on to God. And have a fantastic Friday. Have a faith-filled Friday. And remember, whose side are you on? Are you on man's side? Are you on your own, the Lord's side? Are you trusting in God this morning? And we got a caller before we go. 7959, your line is open.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, Pastor Bridget and Minister Mother Valerie. I just want to say I'm standing on the Lord's side. Who do you want to stand with? Do you want to stand with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit? Or do you want to continue, hallelujah, to stand in sin? Or do you want to continue to stand in the world, in the worldly system, which is not, hallelujah, godly? So stand on the Lord's side. and turn your back against the worldly side. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And what do we Amen. Say? May the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent, one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours. We have one more caller, and our caller is Evangelist Teresa. It's an evangelist kind of thirst. Friday, isn't it? Evangelist Teresa, Amen. Your line is open. Good morning, good morning. Evangelist Teresa, your line is open. You got to unmute your phone. Well, I think we must have lost
there
Evangelist Teresa.
No, I'm
Are you there,
here.
There she is. Yes. Your line is open.
Yes, you know, years ago I denied my calling. I wanted to do the world side. And I thank God and I praise him that I turned away from the world. I turned away from man's doing. And I'm growing closer. We are in the last days. On the last days. And we must choose whom we will serve. I'm not going to serve man. I'm not going to serve man. I'm going to serve the Lord God till the day he calls me home. I've got a lot to look forward to. People look at me and they're like, why are you in so much pain? I'm carrying my cross.
Hallelujah.
We each have our own cross, and this is my cross that I must carry to the day my sweet Jesus calls us home. We each have
Amen.
Our own things we're dealing with. But God. But God.
Where do you stand?
Just quiet.
Amen.
All of our
Where do you
riches.
Stand? Whose side are you on this morning? I'm on the Lord's side.
Hallelujah.
I'm on the Lord's side. Hallelujah.
I'm on the Lord's side.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Even though we ain't had no water for a whole day and a night and a morning, I'm still on the Lord's side. Hallelujah. Because I know God going to take care of it. Hallelujah.
Yes, he will.
I'm on the Lord's side. As we go out, where do you stand? I'm on
Hallelujah.
The Lord's side.
Hallelujah. On the Lord's side.
And I'm not turning back.
Amen.
Amen.
I won't
Amen.
Go back.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So I just say to you this morning, remember, where do you stand? Do you stand on the side of man or do you stand on the side of God? Do you lift up the name of Jesus or do you just stand on the sidelines looking in? So we say, where are we standing? We are standing on the Lord's side. Hallelujah. Nothing or anything. If we don't hold it tighter, then we hold on to God. Holding on to God's unchanging hand. Have a blessed day, family. Mother Valerie. Minister Shannon, Evangelist Teresa, all my Evangelist Shannon, Evangelist Teresa, Mother Valerie, Minister Mother Valerie, and all those that are listening today, I ask you one more time, where do you stand? Standing on the Lord's side.
Hallelujah.
It is, as we say, moving forward. It's a wrap, y'all.
It's a wrap.
It's a wrap.
It's a wrap. Because I'm about to go into my praise break. I thank you very much. Hallelujah. As Reverend Timothy said, where do you stand? I'm standing on the Lord's side. Have a blessed day, family. It's a wrap. Join me on Sunday as we go into our New Testament word. And it's going to be a great word. Hallelujah. For I'm standing on the Lord's side. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Moses. Thank you, God. Thank you, Yeshua. Thank you, Yahweh. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
We call on the name of
Yah
this morning, knowing that we are on His side. We are His friends, and He is our God. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jesus. Have a blessed day, family. It's a wrap.
It's a wrap.
It's a wrap.
So about our
It's a wrap.